You know, the Bible talks about there being a place in the Spirit that we can get where the filling of the Holy Spirit is so real that the Bible says, "Be not drunk with wine wherein is excess, but be ye filled with the Spirit." It's called spiritual intoxication. Now, if you're rather sedate in your church, you know what sedate is, don't you? That's what the anesthesiologist does to you. So when they cut on you, they don't know anything's happening. If you're rather sedate, you're in the wrong place tonight. Someone said, "I don't like all that hollering." Well, I'm not hollering for you. Amen. I'm not praising you. I'm praising Him. And we have a right to praise the Lord. I do promise you this. I don't plan to keep you long. We are thrilled tonight to have the press here with us. Herald Dispatch is here tonight. And I got to speak to the photographer just before service. He's asking a little bit about the service. And I told him we welcome them here tonight, don't we? Let them know we're thrilled that they're here. It's an honor to have them here. He said, "Now, how long do you hold service?" I said, "Well, I hold service about an hour and a half." I said, "But now, should the Lord come along and hold us till midnight, that's His business, but I won't do His job for Him. But when He comes, the time doesn't matter. But brother, if He don't come, it matters." You pray that God will help us tonight, and I'm not asking you to pray so I can preach. I know what God's laid on my heart. It just makes it a lot easier for me to preach if you pray. I'm not going to give you anything deep or anything you've never heard. I looked at this, I believe, one other time a few weeks ago, and God laid it on my heart. You know, for us that are in church, we use words that to the unsaved, we've got to understand something. Our nation's now calling tomorrow as a national day of prayer. The only problem with that is, and I'm glad we're doing that, but the problem we face is we now have an unchurched generation that doesn't know how to pray or what to even say when they pray. They've never been to anybody's church. They don't know anything about church. And we use words that we take for granted that because we use them, we know what they are, and we think that those that do not know Christ, they understand everything we're talking about. But you'd be amazed how many people right here in this area have never darkened a church door, have never heard a sermon, know very little about Jesus, know who He was or what He did, and really they don't even understand. They know in their heart that something is not right, but they don't know what you call it. They don't know what to do about it. And in fact, some of you are absolutely so confused. You're as confused as a bald-headed hippie. Amen? When it comes to religion, you don't know up from down. Because one person says you got to do this, you got to do that. Some you've joined the church. Some you've been baptized till the tadpoles sing. He ain't in this town to stay. And you're still lost and you don't know what to do. And you're doing the best you can. And you're trying to get a hold of God. And you're trying to reach the Lord. But you can't find the way out of the situation you're in. I want to make this as clear as I can, as quick as I can. There's only two categories of people in all of the world. Saved people and lost people. There's nobody halfway in, halfway out. And by the way, preacher, don't waste your time trying to read people's hearts. You don't know what's in their heart. I've seen people live their whole life in church and come time to die and cling to my hand and say, "I'm so afraid because I don't know that I'm ready to meet God." I don't know the heart. God does. But Jesus, in the 15th chapter of Luke, He gives three illustrations of things that are lost. He talks about, in verse 6, the lost coin, and He says, or the lost sheep, and He says, "And when he cometh home, he calleth his friends together, neighbors, saying unto them, rejoice with me, for I have found my sheep which was lost." In verse 9, a woman has lost a coin. Verse 9, she finds it, calls her friends and her neighbors together, saying, "Rejoice with me, for I have found the peace which I had lost." Then there was a son, one of two sons recorded in the passage, that asked his father for all the goods. He went into a foreign land. He spent all of the goods on riotous living. And he finally comes to himself, says, "I'm going home. I'm going to say to my father, I've sinned." And the father saw him coming afar off, ran, and fell on his neck, had compassion on him, kissed him, said, "Bring forth the ring, bring forth the robe, kill the fatted calf." And verse 24 says, "For this my son was dead and is alive again. He was lost and is found." And they began to be merry. Had the privilege in our home church a few weeks ago. We had a dedication service. We call it a dedication of children. Really, it's a dedication of parents. And there was either 8 or 10 babies that I was blessed to hold and kiss and watch them cry after I kissed them. But I did get a hold of them and pray God's blessings on them. And at the end, I had the most unusual experience. A layman wanted to give his testimony at the end of the service. And he talked in that. Of course, one of his children was one of those in that service. And he talked about when he was a boy going hunting with his dad. And he said his dad left him at one place, went somewhere else. And to make a long story short, he fell asleep. And when he woke up, he was lost. And he said, "You know, it's a terrible feeling to be lost." He said, "A lot of people don't know what to do when they're lost." Well, that stuck in my mind, and I got to thinking about that. What do you do when you're lost? What do you do when you're lost? If you're here tonight and you're lost, it's great you realize that, but what do you do about that? Well, I started searching and did some study. You know, I found out that they put out a number, the National Park Service has put out a number of little pamphlets, and of all things, I ran across one that said, "What to do when you're lost." They give them to people when they go out camping, hiking, they get lost, and they give them some instructions what to do. Now, I'm just going to go over these things real quick. You stay with me. I know you're tired, but I think you can stay with me just this much tonight. It said, first of all, always remember, you are lost. If you knew the way out, you would not be lost. Is that logical? So, for those of you that aren't a Christian tonight, the reason you can't figure it out is you don't know the way out. And it said, second of all, remember, no one ever plans on getting lost or being lost. But when you are lost, oh, I read this, it thrilled my soul. There was one written for children. It said this, remember, when you get lost, there is no punishment for being lost. Your family will be happy to see you. And your daddy will be glad to see you. The punishment is not for being lost, it's for staying lost. And then it said, somebody that loves you will come searching for you. So have no fear. They love you and they know the way out. We have watched this week a search for those that are lost and missing. Why? Because somebody loves them. Somebody cares. Oh, I feel preaching good. Somebody cares about them enough to go searching for them. Aren't you glad that God cares enough about us that, bless the Lord, Jesus let the glories of heaven to come into this world because we were lost? Four things it said to do. First of all, if you're lost, stay put. If you hide, help may not be able to find you. It says also, if you walk too far, you may walk out of the reach of help. How many people I've preached to over the years that they kept traveling farther and farther and farther in the wrong direction. Not because God didn't want to say he could snap his finger and the whole world be saved. But you're not a robot. God's given you a will to choose. So you have to make a choice. And one thing is, will you go farther into the world and into the sin and going away from God? Or will you stay put and let the Lord come to you? Something else it says, stay put because you can't afford to waste your body energy running. Funny thing about this conviction. You know what conviction is, don't you, folks? That's not when God makes people get saved. That's when God makes folks wish they were saved. And when that comes, what happens is the Holy Spirit searches us out and convicts us of the murder of Jesus. That's really what He does. He says, Jesus died for you and died in your place. And if you reject Jesus, you crucify the Son of God afresh. And when conviction comes, that will either draw you or drive you away from God. You'll run to the Lord or you'll run from God. In a little while, we'll give an invitation. Some of the sinners will run to God. Others will run out of the tent. I've got news for you folks. You're just wasting body energy. Not a place you go that He can't find you. There's not a traveling life, a path in life you'll travel that He's not already been there. The psalmist said, if I make my bed in hell, Thou art there. If I take the wings of the morning, Thou art there. He loves you and He's searching for you. Second thing, stay put. Second of all, stay warm. If possible, light a fire. Start a fire. Fire will not only warm you, but it'll also signal those searching for you where you're at. Thank God for old time Holy Ghost fire. Some of you have already fallen out with me. I used the wrong words, didn't I? John the Baptist said, I am not he that is come, but there's one coming after me whose shoe latchets I'm not worthy to unloosen. And he said, I indeed baptize you with water, but when he has come, he will baptize you with the Holy Ghost and with fire. I challenge you to touch fire and not get burnt. You say, you preach like that, you'll start wildfires. I'd just like to see a little fire some places, I guess. I'm not worried about wildfire. I'm worried about no fire at all. Second of all, it's a signal. Thank God when that warming comes in your heart tonight and your heart begins to beat and that lump comes in your throat, that's God speaking to you. Trying to warm your heart to Him. On the road to Emmaus, they didn't realize that it was Jesus they were speaking to. But they said they knew it was Him. When? Because their heart did burn within them. Oh, you can't be with Jesus very long till something starts to burn inside. Most deaths that occur of people that are lost, they die due to exposure of the elements. Lost. Stay warm. Stay put. Then I like this. Stay alert. I'm going to read you about three or four things verbatim as it was written in this. Isn't this great? They didn't even know they were writing a sermon when the National Park Service put this out. It says, and I quote, when you are lost, there are friendly strangers who want to help you. Hallelujah. Said, don't be afraid of the search dog. You'll know him because he'll be wearing a vest, a bell, and a bright light. Why are we so afraid of the blessed Spirit of God? You'll know him because he'll have a vest. What is that vest? Why, it's a vesture dipped in blood. Who is this that cometh out of Bowser whose garments are dyed in red? I tell you what it is. It's the Spirit of God, not testifying of himself, but Jesus said, he shall glorify me. You'll know him by the light. Jesus said, I am the light of the world. You'll know him by the veil. What's the veil? Like when they put them behind the veil of the temple that separated the holy place from the holiest of holies. That veil was 6 inches thick, a handbreadth in width, Josephus writes. 600 priests it took to hoist it in its place. A veil 6 inches thick. Think about that. They couldn't see through it, but they could hear through it. So the high priest in the hem of his garment had veils sewn. And when he'd offer up the blood in 7 different directions, after that the Shekinah glory of God would come and fill the holiest of holies, he would start to move out of that place. And there'd go a chime of voices crying out from the inner court to the outer court. I hear the ringing of the bell. crying out. The blood has been offered and accepted. Oh, thank God for Jesus, our high priest after the order of Melchizedek, would be the beginning of days nor end of life. You'll know him by the bell that you hear. It said of the search dog, he is just a fuzzy friend looking for you. Oh, thank God. If you hear a noise, if you hear a noise when you're lost, make a noise back. If it's an animal, it will run away. If it's the one that's searching for you, it'll help them find you. I quote, it says, remember, little animals can make big noises in the dark. You ever have a cricket in your bedroom? Make a lot of noise, can't they? Let me tell you something. The devil would love to paralyze every one of you that's lost in fear to keep you from getting to Jesus tonight. And sometimes he'll even roar. He'll make loud noises. But thank God, you just make a noise back and say, you get on out of here. I'm waiting on the one to come and find me tonight. He promised he's looking for me and he's searching for me. And I'm going to wait on Jesus and I'm going to stay. I'm going to hear from heaven. Other thing it says, stay alert. Don't eat anything that you're not sure what it is. A lot of people, when conviction comes, they start eating off of everybody's table. And if you're not careful, you can partake of so many things that you'll be so confused that you'll not know the right way. Now, it's a simple way. God never intended any of you to die lost. He wants to save you. Don't eat anything you're not sure what you're eating. I'll tell you, we say amen to it, and rightfully so, but a lot of us, we eat of a lot of things that we're not sure of. We say it because we heard somebody in our church say it, and somebody else say it, and somebody else say it. But when you go to try to find facts of it in the Bible, sometimes it's just not there. Thank all 10 of you for those amens. I mean, some traditions are good and some traditions are just ignorance. We just say it and then people think that's what you've got to do and they don't understand what the Bible says. If we turn them to the Word of God, we either believe it or we don't believe it. And we must accept it. Stay put, stay warm, stay alert. And I like this last one. Oh, bless the Lord. You better pray for me. I'll try to get done here in 2 or 3 minutes. Stay findable. That's exactly what it says. Stay findable. What do you mean? Oh, I don't even know if I can read this next one. It says, when people get lost in the woods, they should know almost always help comes from above. That's right. What do you mean help from above? Well, in the woods, helicopters and airplanes can search greater territory than what people on foot can, and they get confused, but from above they can see everything down below. No wonder the psalmist said, I will lift mine eyes unto the hills from which cometh my help. My help cometh from the Lord which made the heavens and the earth. He that keepeth thee will not slumber nor sleep. Thank God we have help from above. And if help comes from above, they advise this, stay very close, or if at all possible, get to a clearing or an opening. Oh, bless God. See, if you're in the trees, you can't be seen. But you get out in the open, and it's easy to find you. If I'm not mistaken, I see some clearings down through here tonight. Right here in the front is a great big opening. Be a good place to find some help from above. You're sitting among the people, but you need to get out in the open. Where help from above can come to you. And it says, when you get to the opening, the best thing you can do is find something and make a great big X in the opening. So as they fly over, they'll see the spot that where you are. Do you know what's wrong with a lot of people? They've never got to the clearing, and they've never got to the opening, and they never marked X as the spot where help could come from above. And the devil comes to them and tells them all kinds of things. But thank God, I'm glad there was a spot one time, and I've marked an X there where help came down, and heaven came down, and glory to fill my soul. Thank God, if you're lost, here's the spot to get right tonight. Now, when I read this last thing, I tell you, I shouted and shouted and shouted. And I'm going to read it just the way it is. When you hear a helicopter signaling help is coming from above, lay down flat in the clearing. Move your arms and legs like you are making a snow angel.
Praise the Lord.
Why? They're hundreds of feet in the air. When you start to move your arms and legs, all you all remember when you were kids, don't you? Come on now, you're not that old. You used to fall back in the snow and you'd move your arms and your legs and get up. There was the impression of a snow angel in the snow. And why you do that is because that says, hey, I'm down here. I'm alive. I need some help. I'm looking for you. I'm searching for you. And I know you're looking for me. Thank God, thank God. I tell you what he's looking for. He's looking for somebody that wants him to come. He's waiting on somebody that'll say, tonight right here in Southern Ohio, Lord, I'm down here. I'm in a mess. I know I'm in a mess. I'm lost and I need to be saved. So Lord, come to where I am that I can go to where you are, and he will come. In our area a few years ago, I got a tragic phone call. A little child was lost. Several of these preachers here can testify to what I'm about to say. Wasn't the child's fault. I think she's about 4 years old, maybe 5 years old. Just a mile or so from where I live, Bob Alexander, some of these other preachers. And her little dog, in the cool time of the year, drifted, strayed from home. She saw the little dog go out in the woods, and she chased the little dog. As best I recall, she didn't have any shoes on and didn't have a winter coat on, and during the night, she'd get down in the 30s and 40s. So she did that early in the day, and they called for help, and then in turn, they called for more help. There's those friendly strangers. They just kept coming to the rescue. Kind of a picture of what the Lord does for us. He's the one that saves us, but thank God. Let me tell you something. You look around tonight and all you see is hundreds of strangers. But the best people in this world is God's people. They'll love you. They'll help you. They'll take care of you in your time of need. They're concerned about you, and God's brought them into your life to help you. But they kept calling, and I got there, and I don't know, by that time I think there was about 100 volunteers. And the sun was getting ready to go down in a little, maybe an hour or 2 hours away. And one of the volunteers said, oh, preacher, pray for us, and God will help us find this child. Other preachers were there. We all locked hands. We prayed. Oh, God, help them find the child. Sun set. No baby. No sign of baby. The temperature dropped down in the 40s, the upper 30s. No coat, no shoes. Sure as the world. She was gone. They searched all they could and did all they could. They just couldn't find her. Next morning, I don't know, it might have been 8 or 9 o'clock, that daddy, broken heart, had come out of their house and stood at the edge of the woods and walked back over, and those volunteers had gone back out. Many of them already had the look on their face. They were expecting to find a corpse. No way she could survive that night. And the daddy went out and began to cry. When he cried, he called her name out and said, "Oh, honey, please come home, please come home." In a matter of about 5 minutes, there come those little bare feet with that little dog running right behind her. Ran right in his arms, jumped up. One of the family members told me later on that after they had a time of rejoicing, and you could imagine the rejoicing, the little girl that had been lost had been found. After a time of rejoicing, the daddy asked her, said, "Honey, what did you do last night?" And she said, "Daddy, my little doggie laid right down on my belly and laid there with me all night. That dog kept her warm all night long. God used that dog to save her life." And he said, "Honey, I am confused. With all those hundreds of people, didn't you hear those people crying? Yelling your name?" "Yes, Daddy, I heard them yelling my name." "Well, sweetheart, why didn't you go to any of them?" And the little girl thought she'd done something wrong, had a tear in her eye, and looked up and said, "What, Daddy? Don't you remember? You always told me to never go to a stranger." Said, "When I heard your voice, I knew that was my daddy. And I knew it was all right to come out." Oh, bless the Lord, we have a Heavenly Father. And He's calling your name loud and clear. He's saying it's all right to come on out tonight. You don't have to stay in hiding. You don't have to be lost. You can leave this place, part of the family of God. Run to the arms of Jesus tonight. He'll wrap His arms around you. He loves you.